That's awesome. Good morning, church. How is Community Church Hong Kong? Is everyone hiding behind that pillar there? I see you. So great to be here. The moment that we met Pastor Steve and Marion, we love them from the beginning, and we've been working with Brenda and the team to come and visit your church for up to a year now, I think it has been. So it's so exciting to be here. Who was here yesterday at the seminar? Fabulous. Awesome. We learnt about how God wants to speak to us and this very important promise that God has given us. And I shared yesterday about how I grew up in church. I'd been to church all of my life. I was a very good girl. I obeyed the Ten Commandments. Maybe a few slip-ups now and then. I swore once in grade six, and it took a long time to get over it. But I was a good girl. I listened to the sermons. I read my Bible. I followed God as much as I could. But I hit the age of 21 and I hit a bit of a crisis. In fact, I broke up with a very good-looking boyfriend. And I really did wonder at that point whether God existed. And I met a friend and she talked a lot about hearing from God, about hearing the voice of God. Really? Does God speak? I mean, I've read the stories in the Bible. You see it a lot. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord spoke too. Have you read that? A lot of times throughout the Bible. So I knew that God speaks, but I didn't know that I could experience it today. And I was super curious. Wow. If the God of heaven and earth, the creator of everything, the God who knows everything about my life, all of my past, all of the thoughts that I'm thinking right now, God knows every possibility of the future, what would he say to me if I asked him to speak? But I was a little bit scared too. Like, what would it sound like if God spoke? How would I know if it was God speaking anyway? And then what would happen to my life if I heard God speak? What would God say? What if he asked me to do something I didn't want to do? What if he said, go to Outback Australia where there are no toilets? Or even worse, what if he asked me to marry someone really ugly? So at 21 years of age, I prayed this prayer. I said, God, could you please speak to me? I've heard you speak to others in the Bible. I've heard stories about what you've said, but can you please speak to me about my life? And if you do speak to me, can you make it really clear? Like, I don't want any of that fuzzy, wuzzy, mystical stuff. I want to know if it's you. And if you make it clear, I will do whatever you say. Yeah. Well, the story goes that God did speak to me and he made it really clear. And I did what he said, eventually, with a few arguments along the way. And then life turned out very different to what I imagined. I started my working career as a school teacher. And then at 26 years of age, God called me into ministry, which is a very unusual thing to say because in my church background, women weren't allowed to be ministers. So that was a little bit confusing. But I went to Bible college and I worked through some of those issues, and then God called me to lead a church, to plant a church. God spoke to me about teaching in Bible colleges, about being involved in various parts of ministry. Then he called me to move to Sydney, my current home. And then he said, Tanya, your calling is to take everything that you have learnt about hearing my voice and pass it on to other people. And so the Ministry of God Conversations was born. And that's what I do today. I teach people how to hear the voice of God in various ways, any ways that we can possibly think of. And the reason why I do that is because I understand that hearing from God changes your life. It changes your life. God is a talking God. In fact, the scriptures say in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, that God does nothing without first speaking it. He speaks to us personally And the reason why he does that is because he's a deeply personal God. He wants you to know him, not just about him, not just to hear stories from other people's lives, but he wants you to experience his voice personally in your life. And if you are willing to listen and to do what he says, it will change your life forever. It's such a privilege to be here this morning to share with you. Brenda mentioned Ali. Ali is from Manila, just across the way, not so far. Didn't take as much jet lag to get her here. But she is a wonderful member of the God Conversations prayer team and a very gifted, anointed leader involved in an international church in the Philippines as well. So it's wonderful to have her here. I also have another group of people who are part of my ministry, and our goal is to resource you with hearing God's voice. So if you weren't here yesterday, I just want to mention a couple of resources that I have brought with me and let you know them, that they're available to you. And they're all designed to teach you to hear the voice of God. What a great job description, hey? It sounds great, except when you're trying to explain it to someone on the airplane what I do for a living. This book is called, very originally titled, it's called God Conversations. And it's the story behind the story. It's about how God speaks to us, how he makes it clear, and how he is committed to speaking to us. And it shares from my own life, but also from the lives of the Bible characters. I'm going to give this away this morning. I'm going to give this to someone who is really hungry to hear the voice of God, which looks like putting your hand up first. There we go. Lady up the back. Do you want to come and grab this from me? There we go. That one's for you. There's also some teaching series available out there. We've got some discounts this weekend. Who loves a good discount? Yeah, I saw the price of the men's retreat, Hong Kong dollar, thought $900. Wow, it's so expensive in Hong Kong to live. I was like, oh, no, that's not Australian, Tanya. I was like, but we do have some discounts this weekend. The other thing is, hands up if you are involved in a small group at Hong Community Church. If you're in a small group, over the next 7 weeks or so, you're going to be doing a series called God Conversations, and you're going to be really focusing in on hearing God's voice. And if you're not a part of a small group, can I encourage you to get along, to actually become a part of that course, because we're going to take time within your church community to really press into God and to listen to what God is saying and to learn more about it. This teaching here is what you're going to be going through in church life. So that's available. And there's another one too about how to hear God's voice in dreams and visions, which is pretty exciting because you get to hear God's voice even while you're sleeping. You need to listen to that one to see. You're all looking at me like, what? God spoke in dreams a lot in the Bible. And I just want to say that there will be no practicing this morning. No. It was the year 2000 and I was presented with a new opportunity. My pastor came to me and said, Tanya, there's a church that has died and what I want you to do is go in there for 3 months, check it out and come back with a recommendation about whether we should close the church or restart it as a new church. It was a horrible situation. It had a long history of conflict and financial debt. All the leaders in the church had left. There were 5 people left. It wasn't exactly your dream team. The church met in an old, dilapidated, rundown building. It was $5,000 in debt. The church met in the red light district of Melbourne. It was a horrific situation. And yet, at the end of the 3 months, I came back to my pastor and I said, my recommendation is that we should restart the church as a new church and I should lead it. Why would anyone do something crazy like that? Everyone said this was a really bad situation. The best thing to do would be to close it down. Well, the reason why I gave that recommendation was because God spoke to me. God spoke and said, you're supposed to start it up as a new church. Well, which begs the question, how did I know it was God? How did I know that it was God speaking about this situation? See, we have a lot of questions, don't we? People say, God spoke to me. But how do you know if it's God? What does God sound like? Jesus said that his people recognize his voice and they follow. It sounds so easy, doesn't it? So how are we supposed to know when God speaks to us? And what happens after God speaks? I want to talk about these three questions this morning in light of a very famous God conversation in the Bible. I want to look at these three questions. What does God sound like? How do we know if it's God? And then what do we do with it when it comes? Because these are questions that we all have when we come to God. And God spoke to another man in the Bible. It was a long time ago. It was in the time of the Judges between 800 and 1200 BC when the nation of Israel was in a state of disarray. In fact, the Midianites, the Amalekites and other people had come in and invaded the land that they were living on. They destroyed their livestock. They'd sent the people into caves. And they were groaning under the oppression of 7 years of foreign invasion. And it's in the middle of that dire situation that God speaks. He speaks to a man called Gideon. The story is told in Judges chapter 6 and 7. You can open your Bibles and follow along as we go. God speaks to Gideon and he says to Gideon, I'm calling you to lead the nation out of oppression. I'm calling you to lead the nation into a safe place. But God was calling someone that was a really bad choice because Gideon was not a natural leader. He was the least of his tribe. He was the runt of the family. He was the youngest. He'd had no experience before. He didn't know what he was doing. But God spoke to him. And at first, Gideon has some doubts, but eventually he listens to the voice of God and he starts to call the troops together. He puts the call out, come and help us. We're going to build an army. And 32,000 troops respond. Gideon's thinking, oh, okay, we can work with this. This is looking pretty good. So he goes into his tent and he starts to work out the battle plan. He starts to make some calculations. Yeah, okay, I think we can do it. But God is watching. He's looking over Gideon's shoulder. He sees that Gideon might be able to do it. And he says, hang on a minute, I want to get involved. And he speaks again. Gideon, I want you to reduce the army to 10,000 troops. What? 10,000? Why would we do that? The Midianites are so much stronger than we are. I need every man that I can get. That's the craziest thing I have ever heard. So he goes back to his tent, starts to redraw the battle plan, starts to move the numbers around on the Excel spreadsheet, starts to work on the calculations. And he says, well, maybe with a little bit of a strategy, maybe if we use the lay of the land, the element of surprise, maybe we could do it with 10,000 troops. But God is watching. He's looking over Gideon's shoulder and he sees, maybe they can do it. But I want to get involved. So he speaks again. He says, Gideon, I want you to cut it down to 300 troops. What? Well, what do you mean, God? 300 troops? That is crazy. God was calling Gideon to do something he couldn't do. He was speaking about his plan and his purpose for Gideon. But what did God sound like in this God conversation? Does anyone know how God spoke to Gideon? Yeah? How did he speak? An angel. How good would that be? How good would that be if God sent an angel to speak? Anyone ever had a conversation with an angel? Not many. I've never had a conference. How good would that be? What did God sound like for Gideon? Well, he sent an angel, and we see that in the Old Covenant that God sometimes uses angels. He sends messengers. And in the same way God speaks with his spirit, the spirit comes as a message to people. How does God speak to us today? Well, sometimes he does use angels. Occasionally, we see that in the New Testament. But what we see in the Old Covenant is that God primarily speaks by his Spirit, and he speaks to prophets. He speaks to people that God chose specifically to hear from him. So we see people like Gideon and Moses and Abraham and Isaiah and Amos. They go to God and they hear God's message. And then what they do is they pass on the message to God's people. And it was a good situation because God could speak to his people, but it wasn't ideal. And the reason why it wasn't ideal was because you had to have a prophet to hear from God. You couldn't go directly to God. The Spirit would only come on certain people. And the prophets themselves knew that this was not ideal. They looked forward to another time. Moses said, "I wish that God's people would have the Spirit, just like me. I wish that God's people could hear from God. They would be like prophets, just like me. They could hear God's voice and they would pass it on. They would prophesy to others." Well, as you read through Scripture and as you look at what the plan of God is, you know when that time came. You see, when Jesus came to the earth, everything changed. The prophets spoke the words of God, but Jesus came as the Word of God. John chapter 1 talks about this. He is the Word of God in the flesh. That means everything that Jesus said was the words of God. But not only that, everything that Jesus did was God's word to us. Jesus came and he dealt with the problem of sin. He died on the cross. And he defeated death when he rose again. And then after he rose, the moment that everyone was waiting for came. There was a number of people assembled in Jerusalem one day, a special day on the day of Pentecost in the life of the church. And Moses' ancient wish became reality because the Spirit fell. The Spirit came on those people. And there were lots of miraculous phenomena that happened that day. The story is told in Acts chapter 2. But I want you to notice what the Apostle Peter says in amongst all that was happening. He stands up and he says these words. "This is what was promised by the prophets. This is the moment that we have been waiting for, where once the Spirit only came on some people, the prophets. Now who does the Spirit come on? All people, sons and daughters, young and old, male and female," it says. In fact, it says young men will have visions, old men will have dreams, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you look back through biblical history, you'll see that the main way that God spoke to the prophets was through visions and dreams. He spoke in a kind of picture language. Have you heard that phrase, "A picture tells a thousand words"? And so God would often use that kind of picture language to describe what he was communicating. And then the prophets would hear and they would prophesy, they would pass the message on. What was the Apostle Peter saying? He was saying, in the same way that the old covenant prophets heard my voice, now everyone can hear my voice. Everyone, when they choose to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes on us. And that gives us the ability to hear from God for ourselves. In fact, the Spirit speaks to us about our lives. Well, what does God sound like? Well, when Jesus was on the earth, he described it this way. He said to his disciples, "I have to leave. I've got to go. Once I've died on the cross and rose again, I'm leaving." Can you imagine how the disciples felt? "Jesus, you can't go. Please don't go. How are we going to do what you've called us to do? How are we going to talk to you and ask our questions?" And Jesus explains in John chapter 14 through to John chapter 16, he says, "Don't worry. It will be better if I go, because then I will send you my Spirit. And my Spirit's going to remind you of everything I've taught you. My Spirit's going to remind you of the plan of salvation. My Spirit's going to remind you of what God is like, what the kingdom looks like, everything that is written in the scriptures for us. My Spirit will remind you of who you are and who I've called you to be. But there's more. You see, you have so many questions, and I can't give the answers to you right now. After I leave, you've got to do the plan of God. You've got to build the church. You've got to build the kingdom, and you're not going to know what to do. But don't worry, because my Spirit is going to fall on you, and my Spirit's going to speak to you about things to come. My Spirit's going to show you about how to live your lives in light of the salvation plan I have for you. My Spirit's going to take the principles of the kingdom and show you what it looks like in your life." So when the Spirit came, that's what began to happen. And the Spirit wasn't just given for this group of people assembled in Jerusalem that day. The Spirit was given, Peter says, "for you and your children and for all those who are far off." And it wasn't just for those in Jerusalem. It was as they moved out into Judea, into Samaria, into the very ends of the earth. Spirit was given not only to the early church, but to us today, living in the 21st century, in Hong Kong, in Community Church Hong Kong. The Spirit was given to us to remind us of what Jesus has already established. The truths that we see, we have the blessing of Scripture. It's written there for us. The Spirit will remind us of those truths. But then the Spirit's going to speak to you about things to come, how to apply wisdom and the foundation of the salvation truths of God that we have into our lives, into our workplaces, into our families, into our futures. The Spirit given to every single one of us to speak to us. See, the Spirit spoke to Gideon, and he spoke to him about the plan of God in the midst of the Israel situation. But the Spirit comes to speak to us today in the midst of our situation. He's still speaking by his Spirit in visions and dreams. He's still speaking by his Spirit into our situation about things to come. What does God sound like? I remember when I heard from God about my church. I remember I was in a prayer meeting in the church that I was going to in Melbourne, Australia, and I remember halfway through the meeting, the Spirit spoke to me in three words, and I knew straight away that it was God. And the reason why I knew it was God was because I had no idea what it meant. The words came by the Spirit in my mind. These are the words. They were, "Till the soil." What does that mean? Till the soil. Sounds a bit like farming. Like, do I look like a farmer girl? I'm thinking, oh, maybe there's something in the Bible on that. So I began flicking through my Bible to find something. What does it mean to till the soil? What sort of soil should I be tilling, and why am I thinking about this? Is it from God? I couldn't work it out. Maybe it's just my imagination. And I forgot about it. The prayer meeting ended and we were having tea and coffee afterwards. And a friend of mine came up to chat. He said, "Tanya, an interesting thing happened to me in the prayer meeting. I had a vision of you, a picture in my mind that came to me, and I think it's from God. I saw a vision of you, and you were standing on the edge of a new field that hadn't been tilled yet." What does that mean? Because Noel knew a lot more about farming than I did, he explained. The tilling is something the farmers do to prepare the soil for planting. When there's rocks and thorns and the soil has to be cleared out so that the seed can be planted. It was a new field that hadn't been planted yet. The next day I met with my pastor and we realized that God was saying that I needed to prepare to plant a new church. God was speaking by his Spirit, the Spirit given on the day of Pentecost to everyone, sons and daughters, to remind us first of all about the salvation truths of God, but then to take that truth and apply it to our situation, to speak about things to come, what God has for you. What does God sound like? He sounds like the Spirit of Jesus continuing his mission on the earth, the Spirit sent by God so that God's kingdom can continue to grow through you and me, through sons and daughters, through young and old. Well, then, of course, how do we know if it's God? Because we know that God speaks, but we also know that we can get it wrong. People make claims to revelation all the time. And if you look throughout biblical history, you'll see that people heard from God, but sometimes people manipulate what they hear. And the truth is, we don't always see clearly. We sometimes hear what we want to hear. We see what we want to see. In fact, false cults and false religions have begun because people made claims to revelation that didn't come from God. I shared a story yesterday about how the leader of the terrorist organization Boko Haram, the person who kidnapped 250 teenage girls and sold them off to slavery, he said the reason why he did that was God told him to do it. How do we know if it's God? How did Gideon know that it was God? Gideon was in a very difficult situation. In fact, his life was at stake. 300 troops. Not only his life, but the life of the entire army. How did Gideon know that it was God? See, sometimes we read those stories in the Bible and it looks pretty easy for them. But the scriptures also say that the people in the Bible are people just like us. They have the same doubts and the same fears that we have. In fact, God anticipates that we struggle in this area. God, is that you? I don't want to get it wrong. In fact, there's a verse in Deuteronomy that says, and you may say to yourselves, how can we know if this is from God? Well, the beautiful thing is that God wants to be heard more than we want to hear his voice. And he's not going to make it difficult for us. He wants you and I to hear his voice. And the reason why he does that is because he wants us to be able to follow it. We recognize his voice and then we learn to follow. I want you to have a look at what God does for Gideon. And I want you to see God's heart because it's quite profound. Gideon is freaking out. He's shaking in his knees. He's in his tent and he can see the army of the Midianites camped around. And if you have a look at Judges chapter 7, verse 9, the story goes on. I want you to see what God does. I'm going to read a portion of this. Can you see the heart of God? During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp. I'm reading from verse 9 of Judges 7. Get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. Then he says these words, if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they're saying. Afterwards, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. What does God do in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our doubt? God, is that you? I'm not sure. This is a bit risky. It's hard to believe your words because I can't see how it's going to work out. What does God do? He gives someone a dream of a speeding bread roll. What is that all about? Well, the Midianites understood that this was a message about the strength of the Israelites. In those days, barley was a very poor man's type of bread. It wasn't wheat, it was barley. And Israel was weak and poor. But yet, they saw in this message that God was making them strong, strong enough to defeat an army. But did you see what God did? He speaks twice. He speaks again. He speaks to somebody else. Gideon hears the message of God and he says, I know that God has spoken. You see, God does that in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our doubt. God, is that you? I just want to hear your voice. I'm not sure. I don't know what it sounds like. I think you spoke, but I'm not sure. Is that you? And look what God does. He speaks to another person. In fact, this is what we see under the new covenant. See, God's Spirit speaks to more than one. This is what the body of Christ looks like. Because the truth is, I have the Spirit of God and I can hear from God. But so does Brenda, and so does Steve, and so does Ali. We have the Spirit of God, and what the Spirit does is He confirms His word within the body of believers. He speaks twice. And when we're not sure, He wants to be heard. So He uses more than one person, and the reason why He does that is He knows that we can get it wrong. He knows that we don't always see clearly, and there's confirmation within the church. You see, when I went to look at this church, it was a really bad situation. I remember going into the area of St. Kilda and at first I was so excited because I thought, well, God, you've spoken. This is my opportunity. In fact, I went to prepare to plant a church and a year later God spoke again. I had a dream and in the dream God said, this is the day that your journey begins. This is it. I remember going to church that day, the place where the office where I used to volunteer, and I remember thinking, what's going to happen today? I checked in my inbox of my computer. Is there anything in there? Mm-mm. I checked in the letterbox in the office. Is there anything in there? Mm-mm. And that morning my pastor came up to me and she said, Tanya, I have an opportunity for you. She began to explain about this church that had died. And I started to go in. I had 3 months. I thought, this is going to be great. This is the beginning of my new opportunity. This is exciting because God has spoken. But I went in and it was much worse than I realized. It was a disaster. By week six, I thought, this is not a good situation. By week eight, I thought, I don't want to go to church anymore, which is a problem if you're the pastor. By week 10, I thought, I don't think God has spoken after all. By the end of the 3 months, I thought, how can I get out of this? Everybody said not to go near it. I went back to my pastor. I said, here's my recommendation. I think that the best thing to do under the circumstances is to close the church down. It's just not looking good. It's very dangerous. It's the red light district. Drunk people come in during the service. And you know, I'm on my own. I'm a single woman. It's very dangerous. And you know, well, we have no money. We don't have any people left hardly. It's a very horrible venue that we meet in. It's smelly. One of our biggest problems in our church team is that one of them has body odor that's really bad and I can't handle it. I don't think this is of God. She says, have you prayed about it? Yes, of course I prayed about it. Maybe you should pray some more. Why? Because the Lord spoke to me this morning, she said. And what did he say? God spoke and said that you should take on the church and replant it as a new one. What was God doing? He was speaking to more than one person. God confirms his word in the body of his people. He speaks to more than one. And sometimes God speaks into our situations and they're hard to believe. Sometimes he calls us to do things and we're afraid. We don't want to do it. It's too hard. I don't have the resources, God. I feel inadequate. It's hard to believe that your word is calling me into this area that's difficult. Like Gideon, we're shaking in the tent. We're trying to work out how to make it fit. And God wants to encourage you this morning. He wants to be heard so that you can follow. So Gideon heard the word of the Lord and he believed it. And he got up and he assembled his 300 troops and he said, God has spoken. God has spoken. And God's words call us to faith. He calls us to follow, to believe that God's words are more powerful than any circumstance that we see. That's what faith is. It's believing his words and acting on them. And he calls his troops together, his 300 measly troops, and he goes up and he looks at that Midianite army and he says, we're going to have the victory. A few things happen. He blows a trumpet. He crushes a jar. And then the whole of the Midianite army falls into chaos and runs away. Gideon doesn't even have to do anything. He sees the miracle hand of God. I remember saying to my 5 team members, we don't have anything. We have no resources. I'm scared out of my wits. But the Lord has spoken. And we're going to believe God. We're going to go into this situation in faith and declare that with God, all things are possible. We went in there and we started to build a beautiful church. We saw the miracle work of God in people's lives. We started to see God's provision. We started to see God's healing work come into that area. And a beautiful church was born. You see, God speaks to us so that we can follow, so that his kingdom is built in our circumstances, so that people are blessed, so that the supernatural hand of God works through us in our situations. And even when we struggle, God comes and he says, will you follow me? Will you follow me? I want to speak to you. I want to give you my spirit who tells you things to come and who calls you forward in your lives to dare to believe God for miracles, for the supernatural work of God in your circumstances. And all we need to do is listen, follow, believe that the God who's done miracles throughout history in the lives of the saints, people like Gideon, people just like us, a bit scared, feeling a little bit inadequate, the least of our tribe, who am I? But hey, we serve a supernatural God who's the same yesterday, today, forever, who continues to build his kingdom through willing people like you and I, to people who will say, God, I'm your servant. I'm listening for your call. God, I want to follow you. It's all it takes. Hearts that are willing. He's able to make it clear. He sends Gideon a dream of a speeding bread roll. He can speak through anyone. He used a donkey in biblical history. God is well able to get his message through, but he's looking for people who will listen. He's looking for people who will stand there and say, God, you speak to me. Speak to me. Make it clear and I'll do whatever you say. Why don't you stand with me this morning? I'd like to pray for you and we're going to go into a time of communion. And as we do that, I want to challenge you this morning to pray that prayer, that same prayer that I prayed at 21. God of heaven wants to use you. The God of heaven wants to show you more of himself. The God of heaven wants to speak to you about things to come in your life. All it takes is a willing heart. All it takes is ears to hear. God, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, speak to me. Show me your plan for my life. Remind me of the things I need to know about who you are. The beauty of this gospel that God gave us, the truths of salvation, what you're like. Remind us, God, of the things that you've established already. Seal in us the truths of your kingdom, the goodness. You are good. You are good. There's nothing to fear. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak to us about things to come. God, in this congregation, in our hearts, Father, would you give us vision of the plans and the purpose you have for us in the midst of our situations? Would you speak forth the possibilities, the miracles you want to do amongst us? God, we're weak, but you are strong, the God of the impossible. In faith, we respond to you this morning. Just respond to him. Perhaps you want to say your own prayer. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Steve now as he leads us in communion.